Hey everybody, welcome to We Hate Wrestling on YouTube. On audio, it is Gootscast, and we are here with the WrestleMania Night 1 post-show. It is day six of WrestleMania week. We're going to be covering WrestleMania Night 1 and Hardcore Justice from Impact Wrestling. We got a lot to talk about. Andrew Lee, how you feeling?
I'm all right. So WWE had an event on every day since Monday, right? Yeah, right.
They have an event. It's WrestleMania because they have an event every day from Monday to next to this to Tuesday coming up.
Yeah, so every day
nine days.
So
WrestleMania week is 9 days.
Yeah, so every day so far they've had an event. Wow, that's good for them. I'm pretty sure that was one of his goals, Junior's goals, which was really just like the whole week this belongs to us.
I mean, they're definitely like fucking murdering all the, I mean, the indie shows or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're 100% doing what they wanted to, so that's good for them. Man, this was, what an interesting night. So
very interesting. Both shows, very interesting.
Starts off with a giant rain delay, and we're talking thunderstorms, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole pre-show, they do mention it. There is no match in the pre-show. It's at 7 o'clock. At the 8 o'clock Eastern time hour, Junior comes out with everybody on the stage. I mean, we're talking it doesn't matter what feud you're in. Everybody's in.
Everyone is on stage with Junior.
You know what? Except for The Fiend.
Well, he's the new Undertaker, so he can't come out.
Yeah, yeah. So Fiend wasn't there. Was Randy Orton there?
Yes.
Was Alexa Bliss there?
I didn't, but Otis was there.
A lot of people were there, but yeah.
Yeah, I assume Alexa Bliss was there. It was very interesting. Between Vince and Shane, and we're going to talk about Shane as we go through the show, Roman Reigns was in the front between Vince and Shane.
Yes, yes. Whenever Junior has those things where, like, we're all going to stand in the front or for a 10 bell salute or whatever, he always has, like, one guy he's, like,
his favorite.
His flavor of the month. I remember one time he had AJ Styles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this one he had Roman Reigns. Yeah, Triple H is there. Stephanie's there. Shane McMahon is there. By the way, it's never Shane. Shane will never stand. He will never allow Shane to stand next to him. So they all stand in the ramp, and Junior looking like the skeleton looking like the giant skeleton who's hovering over fucking Raymond Chase Stadium. It's like, oh, welcome everybody, you know, like we've been waiting for you guys are the real stars of this or whatever the crap. You know, they're just trying to buy time, just trying to get this rain to fucking stop. And it does it. Oh, wait, no, wait. Yeah, so that happens. And then this girl named Bebe Rexha? Is that her name? Bebe Rexha?
I guess.
She sings the national anthem with this.
No, America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful. Remember, that's
the America song. The Beautiful. I'm sorry. America Beautiful with this Asian girl pretending to play the guitar. They show Rhea Ripley crying because she loves America. I guess, right? I was like, why the hell is she crying? She's not even American. The fans, I miss the fans. I have nothing else in my life. I miss the fans. And they then they do this like video package. They do this video package of the whole WrestleMania. And this video package is supposed to be like Jack Sparrow's like interrupting the voiceover.
Well, they did that last year, and now they're redoing it again this year. They're almost,
yeah, but I'm saying that it's supposed to be the Jack Sparrow character.
Yeah, the guy interrupts again because he interrupted last year. So here's something I didn't tell you about, Andrew Lee. For the past year, if I'm like having a hard time going to sleep, I put on last year's WrestleMania, The Fall of Steve, and the Jack Sparrow. I've seen that Jack Sparrow intro a lot of times. Basically, it's not very good last year. This year was better.
I thought it was supposed to be Ricky Gervais at first. And then I was like, that makes no sense.
You're being very over the top. It's not that serious. That's mm-hmm. the goal of like the interruption. And last year it was like very, go back if you can. I don't know if Peacock has banned WrestleMania 36, but watch the intro for 36 and then watch the intro tonight. And you'll see this continuity between the two intros. It's like,
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like, I guess it's Jack Sparrow. They do the whole, it's very long. And they did the whole video package, and it's like, and now WWE presents, Snickers presents WrestleMania. And you're all excited, and then it cuts to Michael Cole and Samoa Joe and Poncho's going like, there's a rain delay. I was fucking dying. There's a weather delay. Byron Saxon is telling us this, and that we can't start. So they're going to do this thing where they cut to like backstage interviews. And I'm going to, this is my opinion, but the rain delay was the most exciting thing that happened tonight on WrestleMania.
Well, I'll tell you what the rain delay did. It really revealed that a lot of these guys, they're not scripted. They don't know. Drew McIntyre looked lost without a script. He looked lost. I'll tell you who shined without a script. And I don't like him because he's fat and smelly. Kevin Owens. He's shining. Yeah.
So what's basically happening is because there's this delay, because there's a thunderstorm, they can't start the show. And so what they did was they had their
ton of interviews.
Interviewers. What?
They had a ton of interviews.
Yeah, they had an interviewer just interviewing all their superstars, just like asking them random questions. We got, you know, New Day over here. You guys talk and say something. You guys get over here. Say, hey, Drew McIntyre. Hey, Kevin Owens, come here and say something. And it's, you could tell it's just like all spur of the moment. And yeah, they were all really fucking bad. And Kevin Owens was the one that was good. And there was even this weird like technical glitch where you heard this like screeching sound during it. Kevin Owens still sounded good. What?
While Kevin Owens was cutting a really good promo, there was a screeching sound. You're right.
Yeah, well, he's cutting a promo. There's technical difficulties. So you hear a screeching sound, but it still didn't even take away. So you're right. It did expose a lot of people.
Remember Drew said there, stand over here. He said to the interviewer, stand over here.
Yeah.
He like broke characters like stand here.
Oh, I missed some of it because I was in my car.
Yeah. New Day was bad. Shane was bad. It was fucking atrocious. It was like shocking. Like these guys, because Stone Cold, whenever you watch usually old guys, Stone Cold or Kevin Nash, like, you know what? There needs to be not any scripts. Needs to be on any scripts. Well, these guys didn't have scripts, and they fucking looked like retards. All right.
Well, you know what it is? It's a couple of things. Number one, yeah, back then you were able to hit a promo on the spot. Right, like if they shut the microphone in your face, just cut a promo. I think it's like any other muscle. If you don't use it, you know, you start losing that ability. So if you're not allowed to just cut promos on the fly, mm-hmm. and you're just made to read scripts the whole time, when you are now all of a sudden just like cut a promo on your own, it's like it's a muscle you haven't used in like so for years. You're just kind of not good at it. Kevin Owens is just like a different beast. He's like a different animal, you know? He's proven he's really
good. Yeah, he thrives stuff like this. But yeah. Drew showed his ass. Who did you write down who gave interviews? I remember Drew being like, me and my friend who watched him, we were like, what the fuck is going on with this guy?
No, because so what happened was I missed, when I realized they were just doing all these interviews, I went outside to move my car. Because the reason why is because it's gonna rain tomorrow and it's gonna rain on Monday, and I have alternate street parking, so I decided to move my car in the driveway. Because you know why? When I know when there's gonna be rain, I prepare ahead of time. Okay, that's why you prepare ahead of time. You don't
do
bullshit thing. Did he not think it was gonna rain? What are they gonna do tomorrow? It's supposed to rain tomorrow too. He's fucking dumb. Didn't he?
Well, hopefully they have a plan. I say. Fly in R-Truth and do some 24/7 matches.
Yeah. Eventually, at 8:35 Eastern time, the actual
real show.
They bring out Titus and Hulk Hogan. Down there now, they're going to begin. These two are the hosts. When Hogan starts getting on the mic, you can hear boos. You can 100% hear some booing. I heard it. I don't know if you did, but I heard booing.
I heard it, but he also got more cheers than Titus.
So I felt like there were some cheers that sounded like, once they realized Hogan was getting booed, I felt like they were piping in some cheers. That's what it sounded like to me.
I still think Hogan's over.
Well, he was getting booed the fuck out. And I mean, dude, he kept calling Titus brother, and you could see Titus just like,
yeah, I don't know.
Into it.
I kind of feel like they did this to make Titus and Hogan both look bad at the same time.
Yeah. Hogan, like, I get it. People are like, dude, he loses his brother card. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's fair if he loses his brother card.
No, I know. I just feel like WWE puts both guys in a no-win situation.
Yeah, but if you are caught, granted, yeah, I get it. He said it at his home. But granted, it doesn't matter. He still got caught saying the N-word. You're not going to go to jail for that, but maybe, like, you can't say the word brother when you're talking to black people anymore. How about that? Like,
well, how about Vince doesn't shove in with a black guy who barely fucking ever on TV? That's what I would say. Like,
yeah, it was a little.
Either Titus or Hogan should have lost.
Titus looked super annoyed. Hogan was getting booed. And then we actually get to our first show. What kind of shirt is that, by the way? Back to
Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley.
2018, yeah.
Why does it say red on his head? It looks like it's Tonka's hair.
Well, he used to wear a red headband. Don't you remember that?
Oh, okay. No, I don't. Dude, sometimes I forget all this shit, like a month later.
He wore a red headband for like the first year and a half that he was back in WWE.
Speaking of Bobby Lashley, that is our opening match.
I'm wearing this shirt.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, WWE title. I noticed that in this match, the commentators are not sitting at the booth. They're actually standing right by ringside. And it's probably because it's still raining at this point. Yes, it's still raining, but there's a tarp over the canopy for the ring. So the ring's not actually getting wet. This is a very long match. It's not a bad match. It's pretty decent. Ultimately, Drew McIntyre tries to go for the Claymore, but MVP, who's at ringside, like, shouts nonsense, which distracts Drew McIntyre because he's not a professional wrestler. And this allows Bobby Lashley to escape the Claymore and then put on the Hurt Lock. And Drew McIntyre gets, I guess, passed out. And Bobby Lashley wins clean. People were shocked. I think some people were shocked that he won clean. It was very interesting. I like this opening match.
I'm one of them. So I'll be honest. I wasn't into this match for two reasons. Number one, the crowd sucked. I kind of expected the crowd to be ballistic for the first time in front of wrestlers, and they were not. And they kind of took away from the match. It was very weird. I've been complaining about the Thunder. Hold on. I've been complaining about the Thunderdome for months now. And it was very weird being back in a regular arena for me. For me, it was very weird. And I really had a hard time getting into this match. The other reason is I kind of had it in my head that Drew was going to win and Bobby Lashley was just here to make him look good. I really didn't think, as much as I love Bobby Lashley, as you can see, I'm wearing a Bobby Lashley shirt, as much as I love this fucking guy and I think he is the man, I didn't think they saw it in him. So when Bobby Lashley won, I was shocked, but it wasn't a good shock. It was like, that kind of happened. Okay. And I'm happy he won, but I did not like this match.
Okay. I think there's two reasons why the audience was not as loud as they people were expecting it to be. I think number one, during this match, it was 100% still raining.
Yeah.
And I think when it's raining, and it's not raining a little bit, I think it was raining a good amount. To the point where the commentating team could not sit down. They had to.
I kind of think they should have kept the lane.
Yeah. And I think what happened was I don't think everybody was back in their seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two, half the audience are wearing masks. And masks.
The audience doesn't come to life until a Bad Bunny match. That is when the audience actually becomes a real audience again. The audience kind of isn't into the show until Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Okay. But that's probably a reason why it wasn't as audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the reasons.
I wanted to say something.
This match itself wasn't bad. It was pretty good.
I just couldn't get into it. Everyone on Twitter happens. And my Instagram, I have this comedian friend, Ryan Mahar. He messaged me. He goes, amazing match. No one can follow that. And I just couldn't get into it. And
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. Amazing match. No one can follow. I wouldn't go that far. No.
Okay. I said to my friend, is it just me? Or is this like weird? And my friend was like, yeah. And I texted my other friend. I'm like, is this weird? And he goes, yeah. I kind of feel, I'm going to say this. I kind of feel this weekend is God telling Vince, you should have waited another year to put him in front of the crowd. Like, you should have
done. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Look, at the end of the night, the show was great. But this match was, it was very weird. I had to get back into it. But I'll tell you what, the audience was not into this match. And maybe it was the rain. And if it was the rain, then they should have kept waiting. What they should have done is have, you know what? I hate, this is going to sound insane. Fucking Zoom call Conrad Thompson. I swear to God. Zoom call Conrad Thompson. Be like, you're getting on the air right fucking now, you fat piece of shit. And have him and Bruce Pritchard just bullshit until the rain stops. I mean.
I feel like, yeah, it was. I really feel like it was. The rain and
do you oh this they is the probably,
they well, hold you, on let me they should have probably definitely delayed it but they didn't that's all
they
didn't.
That, yeah they, so they I don't did. I don't I didn't like this match let me ask you this this is what I thought later on as I'm watching the event. Do you think they changed the finish because Drew's promo was so fucking bad when he had the improv in the back? Do you think they changed the finish?
Maybe. I have no idea. I you know what I thought was gonna happen this is I thought I actually did think Lashley was going to win, but not the way he won. I thought what was going to happen was Shelton was going to run down and start kind of getting into an MVP, which is going to distract the referee. And as the referee is looking at MVP and Shelton going, hey, knock that off, Cedric comes out from the other side of the ring, and everyone thinks he's going to attack Lashley, but instead he attacks Drew, which allows Bobby Lashley to win. And then ultimately it's kind of revealed that this was the Hurt Business's secret plan all along to keep Drew McIntyre like off his game, not realize, you know, because if he knew, like, had to keep his eye out on the rest of the Hurt Business, but now he didn't. That's how I thought it was going to end, you know? But obviously that didn't happen. So,
I really thought, because all year long, I heard from the wrestling insiders that they really wanted Drew to win the belt in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's not going to happen. But here is what people in my Twitter feed start saying, and I am 1,000% behind this. I'm like 1,000,000% behind this. People are saying Lesnar, Lashley, SummerSlam. Bro, I am fucking in. I am fucking in. If the next event with a crowd is SummerSlam, and the main event is Lesnar Lashley for the belt, and it's in New York or New Jersey, I will fucking fly there. I will fucking run.
And here's the thing. You know how we talked about, like, you could never, like, repair somebody? I think Lashley is a good example that you can.
Yes.
Lashley last year was like dead in the water. He was in this weird thing with Lana, right? He was just like dead in the water. And look at him. Like, he is now totally repaired to the point of, like, he looks like a, like, he looks super dominant is the best way to say. He just super
fucking I would have Lesnar beat Lashley at SummerSlam for the belt and then build to Lesnar McIntyre 2 at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas.
I kind of overdrew.
What?
That I'm kind of over Drew. That honeymoon.
I don't think they are. So that's why I'm thinking
that. Yeah, that's true. That's probably
you
true.
Can be over Drew. I'm thinking like Vince is not over Drew, and that's fine by me. But I really do want Lesnar and Lashley. I don't care who wins that match. I want that match. I want
Lesnar and Lashley has always been like the last. Remember, I said that's like one of the last dream matches.
Oh, yeah. And I think this was good. I almost have a feeling that Lesnar has said, I'll be back. I almost feel like they made a deal with him, and we're going to get that match sooner than later. I think they should do it at SummerSlam.
Why isn't Lesnar back?
I think the pandemic, he was like, fuck this shit.
What is he like, liberal?
No, I just think he's like, well, if there's no crowd, you don't need me.
But there's clearly a crowd tonight.
Yeah, but I think like they didn't need him tonight. Like they couldn't draw the maximum amount of people. I think Lesnar demands so much money, you need to have a full audience to justify paying him.
Probably, yeah. Okay.
I kind of feel like you could Vince pay for Lesnar tonight? 1,000%, 100%. But the problem is, it's like, what is it going to do for Vince this year? But it could do more for him in the summer or next year at Mania. Mm-hmm. Seeing Ronda Rousey. They just re-signed Ronda Rousey. You're going to get more out of Ronda Rousey next year, the year after, or the year after that, than you are this year because the pandemic. So why waste that money?
Yeah. All right. So moving forward, NWA is with Titus in the back, and Bailey comes
NWO,
out.
NWO.
What did I say? NWA? NWO. NWO, Scott Stein, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, and X-Pac is with Titus O'Neil, and Bailey comes out, and she's like, hey, Ding Dong, hello. I got a show called Ding Dong, Hello. And Titus O'Neil goes, I don't have cable. And that pops Scott Hall. He just fucking starts laughing. Yeah. He got a kick out of that fucking line. And then Titus goes, I got to go get some E. Everybody leaves, and Bailey's left on her own. Titus, that was just funny by Titus.
I liked how Nash and X-Pac interacted with her. X-Pac's character was like, fuck it, I'm a fan of yours.
Yeah.
And Nash, when they give her the two sweet, he's like, no.
Yeah. Why? But I just kind of thought, like, why did they call him Sean Walt?
On the show?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's his real name, but like...
You just answered your own question, it's real name.
No, but like, his name in WWE was X-Pac. They don't call JYD.
His name wasn't X-Pac. His name was Six.
Oh, I guess because they were like...
Right now, he's the WCW version of himself.
Yeah, I get it. They were like, Six was a dumb fucking name. We're just going to call you Sean Walker.
Yeah.
By the way, I should
honestly, be noticed. Can I be honest with you? If you're only honoring select members of the NWO, I don't even think Sean Waltman should be in it.
What'd you say?
If you're only honoring like four or five members of the NWO, I don't think Sean Waltman should be in it.
Yeah, but he's in it just because of the friendships.
Yeah. I would have had Scott Steiner or Buff Bagwell instead of him. They're more NWO to me.
I don't think Buff Bagwell's ever going to be allowed back.
But I'm saying,
yeah,
if you're going to say, like, give me five members of the NWO, and I would say, oh, Hogan, Nash, Hall, mm-hmm. and then it would be like Bagwell and Steiner, or Steiner and Scott Norton. I wouldn't fucking include Sean Waltman. Sorry.
Yeah, that would matter if it was a real Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Waltman was only in it for like a year. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly, because it's not a real one. By the way, before we get into the next match, something I do need to know. They are alternating commentary teams, and there is no Tom Phillips. The reason
Tom Phillips,
yeah, due to COVID protocol, he is not at
WrestleMania. Also, he's not going to be on Raw anymore. It's going to be
Then that's another thing. It was just announced that he will not be on the commentary team starting this Monday. He is now officially replaced by Amon Zirk. Yeah, Amon Zirk. Who is a sportscaster. He used to work for ESPN, got fired for leaking shit. So that's good news for us wrestling fans, because is there anything we like? We love spoilers. So this guy, if this guy's anything like he was before, he's going to be leaking shit like all over the place. So, all right. Zerk, looking forward to listening to you, buddy. All right, we're going to go match number two. This is the tag team turmoil match. Start off with Naomi and Lana come out, and then their opponents are Carmella and Billie Kay. There is a moment in this match where Lana goes for a kick and just completely misses Billie Kay, but Billie Kay sells it. It's very obvious. It's very clear she missed it. But they roll up Naomi. Carmella rolls up Naomi, and Billie Kay like kind of pushes her from behind to keep that cover strong for Carmella and Billie Kay to win. Their next opponents are Ruby Riott, the Riott Squad. They try the same thing. It doesn't work. So what they do is they take Billie Kay and they hit the back senton onto the knees for the Riott Squad to like advance. After they win, Carmella kicks them both because she's mad. Then the Riott Squad's next opponents are Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. Remember, it's probably still raining at this point. It's probably drizzling. I think it was this is only around 9 o'clock. So I think it was probably still drizzling. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, they're now doing this thing where they look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Same exact outfit, same exact hairdo. They're trying to go for this twin look, which I think is a smart idea because they're like, you know what? If the Bellas were super over because of it, let's just pretend we're twins. As they're coming out, Mandy Rose slips in the entrance ways and it falls on her ass. She gets right back up. And they hit a kind of like there's a roll up and then they reverse the roll up for Dana Brooke hits a roll up. They reverse the roll up on Dana Brooke for the Riott Squad to advance. But the ring announcer, who I think was Greg Hamilton, he announced the wrong team and everyone's like confused. The ref's a little annoyed. He's like, and then he fixes it. And it's the Riott Squad. So the Riott Squad going against the last team, Natalya and Tamina. Natalya tags in Tamina and says, go up to the top, Tamina. And Tamina hits the Superfly body splash off the top, just like her father on Ruby Riott, for Tamina and Natalya to advance. They're going to be wrestling on night two. You said the audience was probably not still into the show up to this point. I think that's fair, right?
This was the worst match on the show.
You can't complain. The audience wasn't into this match. Like, I don't think I was into this match.
I hated this match. It was the worst match on the show. I was losing faith in the show at this point. I don't think you should have had Billie Kay and dude. You know what? This would have been great.
Wait. Finish your thought. You don't think you should have had Billie Kay?
Billie Kay and Carmella eliminated Soro. You know what would have been great in this match? And you could have done it. I don't know why they broke it. If you had like Carmella attacked in the back and Billie Kay's like, I don't have a partner. And then Peyton Royce like, I'll be your motherfucking partner. And then they won. And it was the Iconics. And then the Iconics beat Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler tomorrow night. Fucking Billie Kay and Peyton Royce are great. People want them back together. You're basically wasting.
They were not great. We've shitted on them in the past, dude.
Together, they're great. Together.
I would not. I'm not co-signing that. I don't say they're great. Yeah, not even when they're together, dude. They had some fun moments. They were not great.
They're better than they are apart.
They're better than they are apart does not mean that they're great.
Okay, well, good. Well, that still means that they should be together.
That's like saying herpes is better than gonorrhea. Neither are
you agree. Enzo and Big Cash are better together.
Better together, not great.
Okay, but they should still be together. The point is, these fucking two dumb bitches are employed by this company. They should be together. And I think the crowd would have popped if they came out together. This match sucked. This whole thing fucking sucked. It's scary, like, if you really, like, a match like this, like, you know, we main evented with the women tonight, but then you watch a match like this, like, oh, fuck. Like, there's not a lot of depth in the women's division.
This was, I don't think this was bad. Like, I can't say it was, like, the worst.
I think it was the worst thing on the show tonight.
It was the worst thing on the show tonight, absolutely. But, man, I mean, this was not the worst wrestling I saw tonight. Let's just say that. No, I saw worst shit on Impact.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Impact. I'm talking about this. Oh. It's the worst thing on this.
Yeah, we're talking about WrestleMania.
Apples and Oranges, talking about Impact.
Yeah,
if we're talking about just worst shit on Joey Janela's Masturbation Fest and Effie's Big Great Brunch, we're not talking about those fucking abortion of shows. We're talking about
abortion shows. Yeah. Yeah, this was all right. I thought it was okay. It was just whatever it was. Yeah, but it would probably go down as probably not the least.
The worst match on the show.
The worst match on night one.
Mm-hmm.
We get an Old Spice recap. They do this whole recap about it with Joe Average, and you can catch it on their YouTube page. They're the final part for this. Mm-hmm. They really went long with this whole Old Spice.
I'm sure they paid a lot of money, so they had
to. This guy, Joe Average, what's going to happen to him? Is he going to keep being his character wrestling? What's going to happen with this guy?
No, I just think this is he's playing a character that Old Spice is paying for.
Okay, and then he's just going to go back to being Eric Boogan.
Yes.
And hopefully wrestle, yeah. Yes. Match number three, Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. As Seth Rollins is coming out, his half his promos. Half his pyros are not working because I think at this point it's still kind of drizzling. So he had these fire pyros, right? That's on the entranceway, and like half of them were not lit. This match was very, very good. There's this point where Seth Rollins climbs to the top and he hits a corkscrew splash. I don't think I've seen this kind of splash done before. It looks less complicated than like a 450, mm-hmm. like or shooting star press, but it looks beautiful. Cesaro hits a no arm UFO, that thing where he has you on the Argentine back rack and he just fucking spins around. That looked great. I haven't seen him do that in a long time. And then he does the Cesaro thing, swings. He swings him for a record 23 times. The audience got into this, dude. The audience got into this.
Yes.
Because there was a point where Cesaro did the swing early, but he was like, oh, my arm. Seth's been working on my arm. So he drops him.
That was great.
Yeah. And then as they're wrestling, you hear the audience go, one more time, one more time. Because they wanted him to do the swing one more time. He doesn't do it. He just keeps wrestling. And then when he finally gets to the point where he's swinging again, everyone's into the count again. Everyone's counting along with it. They do it 23 times. And then he hits a neutralizer for Cesaro to win his first singles match on WrestleMania. And let me tell you, it was a very good match. I like this match. I thought the audience was into this match. I think this is where they actually come.
Yeah, this is where the audience got back into the show. This is my favorite match on the show. 110%. Bianca and
Sasha. This match was good. This match was good. I will agree. This was the best match on the show.
Bianca and Sasha came very, very close, but they didn't reach what this match reached. I got to give it up to Seth Rollins. When Seth Rollins, I'm going to tell you this right now. If Seth Rollins likes you, if Seth Rollins has decided I'm going to make you, he fucking makes you. He fucking will give you the match of your life. He has the fucking street cred with Vince and The Office to do that. And when he decides you're gonna fucking be a star, Seth Rollins will make you a fucking star. And him and Cesaro have been friends for years. Go check their Instagrams. And he fucking they had this match in 2014. Cesaro would be a champion for like the last 5 years. I'm glad they finally had this match. But, like, it was long overdue. I loved it. Both guys delivered. Because there was a second one, like, oh, he's going to win. Because I just thought Vince was like, fuck you, you're going to win. You're Seth Rollins. But they fucking delivered. I loved it.
Yeah, this was great. That UFO spot, I haven't seen him do that in such a long time.
Dude, when he did that with no hands, I was like, this is incredible.
I haven't seen him do that move in years. It feels like years.
Yeah.
Since I've seen him do that.
Dude, this was everything a WrestleMania match between two top stars should be.
This was a very – why is WrestleMania so special, this would be a good example. This would be a great example. I'd be like, okay.
These guys show up.
Yeah, look at this backstory. This guy's never had a WrestleMania match. This guy right here, he's never had a WrestleMania match. This other guy.
Singles match.
Yeah, he's never had a singles match in WrestleMania. It's his first one. This other guy doesn't think he's good enough. And also, this guy has this move where he swings people. He says he's going to like do a record on him. This is like a great example of a WrestleMania match. If somebody's ever asked. Good match. Kayla is interviewing the Dirty Dogs who won the pre-show on Friday, and they say, oh, never bet against AJ Styles. I was like, all right, because that's going to lead to our fourth match.
Wait, can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm going to reveal this. So I was watching the show with a former manager, Carol Watts, and he had an incident with Dolph Ziggler the night before WrestleMania 35. and
an incident.
Well, he got drunk.
Who got drunk?
The manager.
The manager got drunk.
Yeah, and Dolph Ziggler was doing a comedy show, but he hated Carol. They were very mean to him. Right? This is 2019.
Former manager of Caroline's hates Caroline's.
He did not like working there. He was done. With they were very mean to him. Mm-hmm. They did not. The other comedian before Dolph Ziggler went very long, and I want to tell the story because it's a great story. And the other comedian went very long, and he got drunk because everyone on the staff was drinking that night because the show went so long. So Dolph Ziggler's on stage signing autographs, and he starts going on the house. Mike, being like, everyone get out of here. It's done. The show's done. Da, da, da. He should have done this, but listen. He gets to the part where Dolph Ziggler's like assistant or handler comes over and goes, can you not like talk over the mic? Like, it's very rude to Dolph. And he goes, yeah, I'll stop. And she walks away. And he goes like, he gives her the double fingers, right? He gives her the double fingers. And Dolph saw it. And then he got on the mic and goes, listen, this guy's not John Cena. This guy's not Roman Reigns. Let's go. Let's keep it moving, right?
Jesus.
Yeah. So the thing ends. The night goes over. The publicist is there and sees it. The publicist, Greg Charles. So the publicist goes and they agree they're going to fire this guy when he comes in on Wednesday. He had off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He emails. He was already done working there. He got on the job offer. He emailed that he was done working there.
Oh, it's probably why he was like, yeah.
Yeah, he was like that. Yeah. And he's my friend. So that's part one of the story. Part two of the story is that same publicist, Greg Charles, heard my podcast with Keith and the Girl, and he's the one who got me banned from Carolines. That's part two of the story. That was a year after this, right? So he already rats on my friend Chris to Lewis, and then he's going to fucking he goes and rats on me, and I get banned from Caroline's. All right. So, but meanwhile, Chris has a great job. Over the summer, Chris got a great job for somebody who used to work at Caroline's at the Bloomberg building. Greg Charles meets this guy and has a meet and meets for drinks and goes, you shouldn't have Chris there. And he starts bad mouthing Chris and tries to actually get Chris moved from his job.
Publicist meets the guy Chris who works. Yeah, Chris's boss, and basically says, Chris is a bad guy. You shouldn't have him working there.
Yes. And all right, so we're building up. So tonight, Chris is sitting there. Dolph Ziggler is doing the interview on WrestleMania. It's 2 years since all this went down, the beginning of all this. I had to get a picture of Chris giving the finger to Dolph Ziggler, and I text that guy, Greg Charles, the picture of that, and I just write the text, long-term storytelling.
Oh, you just texted Greg this?
Yeah, long term. So he didn't respond.
Did he respond?
No, he didn't respond. Long term storytelling, because it's 2 years later.
Yeah.
And me and Chris are watching WrestleMania. Dolph Ziggler's on the screen, and Chris is doing this to Dolph Ziggler. And I write long term storytelling on the fucking text to Greg. He didn't respond. I'm sure he didn't like that. I thought it was. Did you think that's hilarious? I think that's
awesome. It's interesting, yeah. This guy, Greg, he reminds me of...
He's a piece of shit.
Did you ever watch this cartoon called Recess?
No, I was too old.
Oh, shit. He's like a wee... There's this kid. It's a show about, like, these kindergarten kids who, like, every day at school is, like, an adventure. But there's this one kid who was, like, a Weasley kid who's always, like, ratting.
This guy's in his 50s, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. He probably has not much in his life.
He doesn't. But remember, Caroline thinks when they reopen, comedy's going to return. Comedy's returned 97 times since the fucking pandemic started. Yeah. But they think, oh, no, when reopen.
Right. Yeah. Dolph Ziggler might have got the middle finger, but
because the other reason they're pissed at him is Dolph Ziggler won't respond to their emails. They tried to apologize to Dolph Ziggler. They tried to have Dolph Ziggler come back. He just won't respond to them.
Yeah.
He's done. He's not going back. Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler, he might have got the middle finger, but he says, don't bet against AJ Styles.
So let's go to the next match. Just watch the story.
Yes. Match number four. It is Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, who is now, they're both sporting new hairdos, which they're both doing the Cedric Alexander.
Xavier Woods looked like a star with the hairstyle.
They both did. I thought they both
looked not so much Kofi. I'm sorry.
It looked kind of like that faux hawk that Cedric kind of rocks. I like it. They both look good. They look younger. And yes, they're both rocking yes. They're both rocking this Tampa Bay Buccaneers gear, expired gear, which looks great too. AJ and Almost comes out. I heard that he's trying to like give homage to DMX, who passed away, in the way he was dressed. I just don't think he had gear. That's what I think though. AJ's in most of this match with the New Day, and then Almost tags in, and all of a sudden New Day's all scared of this guy. This guy's like, he's like, you know, you can't fuck with this guy at all. He's like invulnerable. And he basically, the finish comes when he does like a lifting, like spine buster drop without fucking falling on Kofi Kingston for the win. I'll be honest, I think this might have been though. This was a boring match. I didn't like this match at all.
I'll say this. I hate this match, and I also liked it. And I'll tell you what.
What did you like about this?
I think they did a good job making Almost look good.
Did they, though?
I think so.
Did he really look good? Like, you think he's going to be somebody now? I didn't.
He's going to be somebody, whether we like it or not. So I think he looked decent. If he walked in that ring and, like, slipped on his own fucking feet and fell on his ass, he's still going to get the world title within a couple of weeks. So you better get fucking used to this guy.
Yeah, he's going to have he's going to have the same appeal like as the Great Khali.
Exactly. So I think he's better than Great Khali. So that's why here's why I didn't like this match. AJ Styles last year stole the show. To me, him and Undertaker had the best match last year. There's nothing even comes close. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Kofi Kingston stole the show. Nothing comes close to WrestleMania 35 to him and Daniel Bryan. And now they're both basically playing goofs for this guy. However, they both didn't dog it. They did all they could to make this fucking guy look like the next fucking champion of the world. And I think they did a great job. It wasn't the best match. It was fine.
See, that's okay. So I don't think they did a great job, and I'll tell you why. You say they're trying to make this guy look like the next world champion. I don't think anybody who's fucking sitting there was going like, this guy could be champion one day. Nobody was
fucking sitting there, but he is going to be champion.
He is going to be champion. That's not the same thing as saying they made him look like he's going to be a world champion.
I think they did.
Okay, I disagree, but that's fine.
But because here's the deal. He's going to get the fucking belt, whether we like it or not.
He's going to get the belt, but that doesn't mean like... That's not the same thing as...
I'll tell you this. If Great Khali was put this match, like when he started, this match would have been a million times worse.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because the match before this was Cesaro versus Seth. And in that match, Seth made Cesaro look like a future champion, right?
Yes.
Here's the thing. He's not going to get the belt.
No.
That's the difference. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, he might get a match with Almost, but Almost is going to beat him. Almost is getting the belt, whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now. He's getting the fucking belt.
Yeah, he's getting the belt, but my point is that he didn't look like he got a guy who should be getting the belt, you know? Not from this match. Hell no, not from this match. He barely did anything, bro.
He barely did anything, but he did better than Great Khali. Go back and rewatch the first couple of Great Khali matches. This guy did more than Great Khali.
No, but what my point is this. He did not look good in this match.
Okay.
He did.
For what he's expected and for his size and for what they're going to do to him. Dude, I understand you're looking at him. You're comparing him to someone like fucking Kofi and AJ and Will Ospreay. You can't compare him to that. You have to compare him to a giant guy who can barely move. And on that level, you have to put him against Andre. You have to put him against fucking Ray Khali. You have to put him against Giant Gonzalez. And he did a better job than all three of them.
Okay, I'm not gonna co-sign that. I disagree with that. But
who did it?
I'm not looking at him like
you think Great Khali's better than this guy. I already think this guy's better than Great Khali.
No, mobility wise, yes. Mobility wise, yes. But because the statement that I didn't agree with is that you're like, they made this guy look great. And I'm like, did they really?
But they made him look great for what he's expected to do. I don't expect this guy to be Will Ospreay. I expect him and I hope that he's better than Great Khali. And he is. That's all. I need to see.
All right. I thought the best part of this match was the New Day's hair. I was like, yeah, that was the best part of this fucking match. They got the hair. I'll even go as far as say that this might be on the same.
And you know what? Here's the other thing, though. No, here's the other thing about that, that was good about this match. AJ Styles is the first ever wrestler to be a Grand Slam champion in Impact and WWE. Can't knock that.
Oh, wait a minute. This is for the tag team titles.
Yeah.
I didn't even, dude, this match was so boring that I was just like, not even.
Dude,
just,
the visual. My friend was very impressed. My friend who doesn't watch wrestling was very impressed with the closing visuals of AJ Styles on almost his, he was.
Shoulders.
Shoulders. Yes. And my friend's like, this guy is fucking monstrous. Holy shit. He was very impressed.
He is. One thing about him is he's very fucking big. In fact, I felt kind of bad for when he was standing on the apron. I felt bad for the people behind him because they're like, dude, we can't fucking see shit. Yeah.
But AJ Styles is the only person in history to be an Impact and WWE Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because Samoa Joe and
Bobby Samoa Joe never held the global title. He never held the global title in WWE.
Yeah. All right, so then moving on to match number 5, Shane versus Braun Strowman. As in a steel cage match, as Braun's about to get into the ring, Elias and Riker attack him, but he fucking beats them both off because they're both jobbers at this point. They start wrestling in the ring, same concept at the top, and there's these little bucket things on each corner. And Shane pulls out a toolbox in one of the bucket things. And he hits Braun in the head, and then Shane climbs up over the top, and he's climbing down on the other side of the ring, on the outside of the ring. And he decides to stick his hand into the ring to wave goodbye. Braun grabs that hand, and now Shane can't fucking get down. And Samoa Joe had a great line. He goes, this is why you don't stick your hand in the tiger's cage. I was like, that's actually a great line. Braun then proceeds to rip the wire fencing off that one side and then pulls Shane in through that ripped up cage, which I thought was a great visual. Braun takes Shane all the way up to the top of the cage. Braun goes up to the top of the cage. I felt like these guys were going to slip off from the rainwater, but no, thank God they don't. He throws, like he choke slams Shane all the way down. Then Braun gingerly comes down to and he hits a running power slam for Braun Strowman to win. Jerry King Lawler was a guest commentary on this. This was all right. It was whatever.
I didn't like it.
I liked the part where he ripped the cage. That part was cool.
Early, yes, that was cool. But it was like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I looked up. So me and Brian Kim were watching the main event of WrestleMania 17 earlier. And he goes, how old was this fan during this? I looked up, he was 55. And me and Brian Kim were going like, he looks fucking great for 55. And we hope we look like that when we're 55.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought to myself, like, oh wow, Vince didn't start wrestling. He was 55 in 2001. So he was 51 when he started wrestling in 1998. And I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive because he had some good matches, but he didn't start really wrestling until his 50s. But meanwhile, he already defeated, by the time he was 55 years old, he defeated WCW. That was it. So then when Shane, they're doing like the pre-show, I looked up Shane's age and was like, how old is this guy? He's 50. I think I text you, he's 51 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's 51. Vince was 52 in 19. 51 years old. And I was like, this guy's a fucking failure. This guy is a fucking failure. Like, dude, but Vince is 75. If Vince lives another 10 years, he's not going to get out of his dad's shadow until he's 61 years old. And
I don't think he's ever going to get out.
He's never.
He is the Tory Spelling.
He tried and he couldn't do it in 2009. And he just
did when he went to China. Yeah.
Yeah. And, It's just stupid to me. Look, fucking, isn't Chris Daniels 50 years old?
Who?
Christopher Daniels?
Yeah. Oh, the wrestler? He's like 50-something.
Yeah. It would be stupid to me to see Chris Daniels making Braun Strowman sell. I would be like, that's stupid. Yeah. It's triply stupid to see fucking Braun Strowman sell for Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
I do think he's...
Yeah.
I do think these two could have had a good match, but the match should have been Shane being like, get the fuck away from me, I'm so fucking scared of you, while Braun is like just like basically the juggernaut trying to get to him. And instead they made him sell for Shane. I think this did more for Shane than Braun, even though Braun won. I thought this was horrible.
Shane's
a failure.
Do you think Junior will ever do, like, because right now if Junior dies, right,
Bruce Pritchard,
what I'm trying to say is, if Junior dies, there's like three people who I think would be given the company over Shane. I'll tell you right now
Bruce Pritchard's getting the company.
Yeah.
Or anyone else.
But let's say if it wasn't Bruce, would it go to Shane then next?
No.
No, okay. Who'll be next after Bruce?
Johnny Ace and Triple H.
Okay. If those two don't get the company, who does? So then after Stephanie, then?
Possibly Shane.
So yeah, that's what I meant.
There's you literally have to have Bruce Pritchard die.
Yeah.
And Triple H die.
No, this is what I'm saying. They have such little faith in him that he would be like the fourth person in line to get this company, right?
Yeah.
But do you think Junior will ever like just pull a swerve on everybody and just be like, he's my son, he's
in charge. I think that Vince realized when Bruce Pritchard put out the podcast and defended Vince, even though he didn't have to, I think Vince realized his real son is Bruce Pritchard.
Maybe, possibly, yeah.
I think Vince knows that if he dies, Bruce Pritchard is going to run the company, not for the – this is the key thing. If Vince dies, Bruce Pritchard is not going to run this company for the betterment of the stockholders or for the betterment of the company growth. He's going to run
the – Or the fans.
Or the fans. Mm-hmm. He's going to run the company. What would Vince want? And then he'll do that.
Yes.
And Shane and Triple H and Stephanie and fucking everyone can yell at Bruce Pritchard till they're blue in the face about, like, you need to push this person. And you know what Bruce Pritchard's going to say? Vince wouldn't push that person, and he'll go the way, even when Vince is dead for like 20, 30 years, he'll go the way Vince wanted.
Yeah, and Triple H, he would book the show more towards of like, this is what's right for business, and this is what's right for
fans. Oh, and he would also be much more forgiving and kind to WCW.
Yeah, and I don't think that flies.
No.
It doesn't fly.
Yeah. I've heard Bruce Pritchard say that NXT is training people the wrong way and you need to get rid of it. I've heard that rumor that he's gone to Vince, like, NXT's garbage. It's garbage. And it's not getting anyone ready for the main roster. We need to change it. He's been petitioning to change NXT. Bruce Pritchard, his only goal is to make sure Vince is happy. And whether you like it or you don't like it, I think Vince loves it. And I think Vince lost sight of it. The key thing, and Conrad Thompson has admitted this, when he started the podcast, he was trying to get a job with WWE or TNA. And then they made some sort of the podcast. It was like, all right, who gives a shit about Vince? But he always defended Vince. Even when he was making 10 grand, 20 grand a week on that podcast in 2017, 18. But he still kept defending Vince. And I think Vince, like, if this guy is making so much money and he still...
Wait, how is he making 10 to 20 grand a week on a podcast?
Ad sales.
That's that many ad sales for a
podcast? That's how much you can charge. Because... Dude, if he was getting like almost a million listeners a week or something, you can charge. Conrad Thompson can charge that, and he got money off that. You can charge money. Like, dude, you're gonna get this many people listening to the fucking podcast, and he still makes that money. He wouldn't give up. But I think Vince was like, if this guy's making this much money a week on a podcast, and he won't give in and just shit on me, this is my real son.
Jeez, I can't believe that. I'm more shocked by the amount of money he made.
Dude, when WWE wanted him back, he was like, if you make me give the podcast, I can't come back. That's just the way it is. And they had to, Vince had to cater the deal to
let him keep the podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So Bailey kind of joins the commentary team, and she goes, "Here's a Hall of Fame," and they only bring out the 2020. No, wait.
Yeah, because I think 2021 is next week.
Yeah, they brought only no wait. This wasn't the 2020. They brought out the 2021 Hall of Fame.
No, 2020 was 2022. 2021 is Kane, Molly Holly, Great Khali, Eric Bischoff, Rob Van Dam. This is 2020.
Oh, then where was Liger?
Liger's 2020. They showed him on the screen.
Oh, they showed him on the
screen. He's in Japan. He's not going to. It's COVID. He can't come here.
Oh, dude. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Oh.
Dude, yeah, him and Shatter. Him and Shatter at home, dude. They're not coming over here.
Yeah. They did the 2020 Hall of Famers, and then Booker T joins the commentary, and all these Easter bunnies come out to the ring, and then Miz and Morrison come out, and they start doing the whole the mock song on Bad Bunny. And then we're going to go to match number six, Miz and Morrison versus Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. By the way, Bad Bunny comes out on top of a truck, completely stealing.
People on Twitter thought Becky Lynch was driving the truck.
Dude, I was like, he totally stole Becky Lynch's spot, right? Can you imagine? She's like, that motherfucker, that was my fucking idea, right?
Did you hear, by the way, did you hear the idea Becky Lynch pitched Stephanie?
Yeah, somebody attack her in the maternity ward.
Dude, I would have loved that. They should have done it. They should have done it.
That is funny, but I don't know why did she say why they didn't do it?
Well, probably they didn't do it because like how long are they gonna wait till the payoff?
Where is it gonna lead to? Yeah,
but I would have Shayna Baszler attack her in the maternity ward.
Yeah, you know why? Because it'll just give somebody heat at least.
Yeah, yeah. But like also, it's like you don't see Becky Lynch for months, and all of a sudden you see her getting beaten up in a maternity ward. It kind of makes her like a pussy.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But I thought it would have been hilarious. Like, if Becky Lynch just went like a pussy, I think she could have got her heat back. Like let's say Shayna Baszler does it, and then tomorrow night, Becky Lynch comes out in a monster truck and beats the shit out of Shayna Baszler, costs her the tag belts. That would have been fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I would have done it. I think that's so fucking funny that she's in the maternity ward. And like, dude, I would have had them like hit her with like the bed. I think it would have been really funny.
All right, so Bad Bunny comes out on top of a truck. We're gonna go with this match, and we talked about somebody making somebody look good. Miz and Morrison made this guy look fucking great.
Yes.
They did this cool spot where Damian Priest and Bad Bunny both hit a Falcon Arrow at the same time, a double Falcon Arrow. That was a cool spot. That was not the only wrestling move this guy did. He did the thing where he did the dive off the top rope onto the floor, which started this whole fucking thing. And ultimately, he hits a Canadian Destroyer on the outside of the ring on John Morrison, which takes him out of the game. And then basically, Damian Priest has Miz on top of his shoulders, and Bad Bunny hits a crossbody to cover and pin Miz for the win. After this match, you hear Booker T saying, give this guy a contract, sign this guy. But this is how you make someone actually look good, in my opinion. Make someone look great, in my opinion. This was a pretty good showing by Bad Bunny. It was better than what I thought it was going to
be. I don't think it was a good showing. I think it was a great showing because Bad Bunny is just a singer. He's not a fucking – he has no background in fighting. He has no – this – he fucking showed up. And Petey Williams put him over and said he did. Petey Williams put him on Twins and said he did a great Canadian Destroyer. Petey Williams put him over.
Yes. To be fair, we should not take away any of the credit from Miz and Morrison.
I'm not.
Part of the Canadian Destroyer, a large part of it is Morrison doing. Yeah, Morrison doing the fucking work. Yeah. There was also that thing where he was doing the. The head scissor spin, remember, with the fucking the Hurricanrana head scissor? Remember that spin? That's the first thing he did. That's also like all Morrison.
No, I know, you know? I know, but I think he did a better job. Look, you can't compare Bad Bunny to like Kenny Omega or
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is,
I think Bad Bunny did a better job than Shaq, he did a better job than Lawrence Taylor, Mr. T. Who else was a celebrity who had a match? Snooki.
What? Snooki. Oh, yeah. I think we both said it at the same time. Snooki.
Yeah, Snooki. I think he did an incredible job. I got to give my hats off to him. And, dude, the thing that was sweetest is so many people who talk shit about him and said he was a waste of life, and he's taking up a spot from someone he doesn't deserve it. Dude, I saw so many of those fucking losers eat crow and be like, you know what? You brought it tonight, and I respect you.
This was good. Good showing by him. Crowd was super into us.
Dude, the crowd. I was shocked how into the crowd, how into Bad Bunny the crowd was. Like there was
no. You know why? Because he's actually famous, guys.
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
All these people who are saying like nobody knows who he is, dude. They fucking know who he is.
You got a huge pop.
Yeah, that's why they were into this match, guys. Like,
Here's the thing though. This is the thing I'm really into this match. I think it's gonna do great things for Damian Priest because
I think it's gonna do great things for Damian Priest, and I also think this is probably. Do you think this is the last time? This is down bug Bad Bunny's done. He's like, all right, guys, I got to go back to my music career. Are you going to keep doing stuff?
I don't know. I don't think now he's going to keep doing stuff, but I think he's going to come back and do more stuff. Yeah. Let me know how old he is.
Hold on. He's young. I can tell you. He looks young. He looks like
he's. You can probably put him in the Shane position where he has a match every year to 6 months.
But I'm saying is for now, the time being, he's probably like, all right, guys, I got to go back and I got to go back to the studio.
But he's dude, he's only 27. This guy
could what I figured. Late 20s.
Go for another 20 years. Have a match once a year.
I wouldn't, you know what? I don't need to see him once a year.
You know what though? If he keeps building his brand, I think WWE would want him once a year. Dude, if this guy
Look,
if you had Britney Spears wrestling once a year from 99 to today. You don't think WWE would have eaten that up with a spoon? She's been a big
star. 100%, yeah.
So Bad Bunny.
But I'm saying WWE wanting that is not what I would want. You know what I'm saying?
I get it, but he could have probably improved.
Yeah. I think WWE will go to him and be like, we want you here every 6 months. And then here's a contract, and he's going to be like, whoa, guys, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, I think he might. I think he might do it. I think he might do it.
Maybe. We'll see, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the main event. Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Before this match begins, Bianca Belair is fucking crying in the ring because she's thinking about...
Well, she deserves... I mean, like, it's huge. Like, I really thought they were trying to bury her when she lost to Bayley, so...
Yeah, she's crying because she's thinking about Rhea Ripley, thinking about America. I've said this in the past. Multiple times, and I'm gonna say it again. I feel like Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, both of them, have the potential to be huge crossover stars. And I think Belair kind of showed that 100% tonight. She is strong as fuck. There's this one point where she Sasha Banks has a dive to Belair on the floor. She catches Sasha Banks, and then she gorilla presses her, and she walks up the stairs, and then she throws her back into the ring. That wasn't her only show of strength. This match was a story of somebody who's super powerful versus somebody who is just vicious. Because Sasha Banks was vicious in this match. The times where she's just stomping on her fucking hands and shit like that, Sasha Banks kept using Bianca Belair's hair against her. Grabbing her hair and yanking her down, using her hair to tie her up in the bank statement. Basically, Belair's hair was like her detriment. That was the story of the match until the very end. Finally, the end comes where fucking she hits this huge hair whip on Sasha Banks' her stomach area. It's fucking like the crack of a whip. It sounded super loud. And then as she's selling it, she gets hit with the kiss of death for Belair to win. Crowd goes fucking nuts for this. I thought the finish was really, really good. Good match. Very good match. I was really thinking that this was the match of the night, but you convinced me that Seth and Cesaro was probably the best match. But this one was a really, really close fast second.
Very close second. I love this match.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I felt like there was something missing. I can't put my finger on it.
Do you think it was a little too short?
Maybe it's because we hate women.
Yeah. Do you think it was a little too short?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it was a little too short. Yeah.
People said like they did a way better job than Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, and I agree, but I also disagree because here's the problem. Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda had to go on 7 hours into the show.
Yes.
And also, people are trying to figure out how the fuck they were going to get home because WWE did not inform New Jersey Transit the show was going to go that late. So there were no trains. So you can't compare the two. They were in a no-win situation.
That's a very good point, by the way, you just made.
They were in a no. Becky, Charlotte, I was there. Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda were in a no-win situation. And the finish where it looked like Ronda may have gotten screwed did them no fucking favors. The only good thing about that match was that Becky won, and I'm glad they did that. And that's why I don't have a problem with that match. But they were put in a no-win situation. There was no reason for that show to go that long. WrestleMania 35, I was there.
Mm, yes.
These women, the crowd was still hot. So they already had like 1,000% advantage over Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. Mm-hmm. But there was just something missing. There was like when you cook something and you add a little bit of salt, a little bit of vinegar, and then the flavor, and then the meal is perfect. Mm-hmm. It was missing that, whereas Seth and Cesaro had that little extra bit of salt or pepper.
Yeah,
or
I don't know what it is that was missing. I think I felt like the match was a little short, and maybe that's what it is. I feel like there's something is missing, and maybe it was.
I think you know what I think was missing, that they didn't have a good storyline leading into the match. You know the thing
about that's Stone probably Cold, what it. That's a very good point. That could exactly be
the
it.
The thing about Stone Cold as Rock is you knew they generally did. You knew at least in storyline terms. They did not fucking like each other.
Yeah, storyline terms, they didn't like each other, yes.
You can feel it from the moment they entered the ring in 20 years ago, 2017. And in this, there was this weird thing, Reginald. There was just so many, like, weird, like...
unnecessary things.
Yeah. I just think, like, oh, it's great that these two black women are main eventing WrestleMania. It's great that Bianca got this opportunity. But it didn't hit. Like, Becky and Ronda and Charlotte had a much better storyline going in. And I think that's, you know, that's the other advantage they had over these two women. Yeah.
But it was still good. A very good match. Like I said, guys, it's the second
best. It's still best a great match.
Yeah, it's still a great match. Finish was amazing. Finish was really good.
It was great, yeah.
With that being said, is the triple threat match, tag team match at NXT Night 2 still the best night best match of the week so far for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really do like Seth and Cesaro.
Yeah. Walter versus Tabasco champion is still the best match.
I will I'll say this, and this is an indictment on Junior and the main roster. I think if you booked those matches to Tabasco champion and Walter and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma and Grizzly Young Veterans on WrestleMania, either night one or two, it would not have been the same match remotely close. Like, it would not have been the same match that we saw.
Why would you say that?
Because I just think the beats in WWE, the way they tell stories in the ring, are fucking different. And they're not going to let those three tag teams, and they're not going to let Walter and Tabasco go as hard as they did in NXT. They're just not. They're not. So unless Walter was a Universal Champion, but if he's the Universal or WWE Champion, he's not wrestling Tabasco Champion. So I think it's kind of unfair to compare because I think they would have said, you know, they would have approached the agent, MSK, and the other guys and been like, oh, tone it down because you only have 5 minutes.
I see what you're saying. You're saying even though that was the match of the, like, you still think that's the best match, it's not fair because the guys who are wrestling on WrestleMania have way more restrictions than the guys who are on NXT. That's a very good point. That is a very good point.
So, like, they're not going to be able to do that match. Because if let's say MSK and Grizzly Young Vets and Legado del Fantasma were thrown the main show, if they had that exact same match, it would have broken WrestleMania, both night one and two. They're not going to be allowed to do that. They're just not.
That's a very good point. That's a very good way to look at it. Okay. All right.
So.
All right. Well, what did break my fucking brain tonight was this Impact Hardcore Justice.
Hardcore Justice, baby.
Dude, I was so, I won't lie to you, there was a part of me that was really fucking annoyed with you for making me watch this stupid fucking show. I really, and I don't, you know, I watch a lot of fucking wrestling. I never really complain too much. This one, I was so annoyed watching this fucking thing. This was at 3 o'clock, and there was no need for the show. That's the best way to describe it. There's no need for the show. Like, nothing on the show needed to happen. Do you understand? Like, right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, do you know what I mean by there's no need for the show?
No, you're right. There was no need for the show.
Yeah, there's no need for it.
Unless you just wanted to, like, make Jazzle like a piece of shit. There was no reason for the show.
And here's the thing. You could have done that on their weekly show. Like, you didn't need to fucking have this whole show to do this. It didn't really build anything. This is not even a pay-per-view. There's just no fucking...
They just wanted to bite off the fact that people were going to be home for WrestleMania, and they wanted to get marks like me and you that were already home. At least I was. And yeah, already in a wrestling mood, so maybe we can get them to watch this shit.
That's exactly what this is. You're actually right about that. I fucking hated it. We're going to go to our first match. Ace Austin and Madman Fulton versus TJP and Falaba versus Josh Alexander, Petey Williams. I could not get into this fucking match. There's not really like a good storyline for this going. It's just like a regular Impact match. Josh Alexander hits an ankle lock with a grapevine on Falaba for the win. Anything you want to add about this?
I see Petey Williams. Brian Kim.
It was nice seeing when he was like this partner. Because I was like, who's Josh's partner going to be? And then when it came up, Petey was like, oh, it does make sense. They're both Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got to say that it was also nice seeing Brian Kim like Falaba. I think Falaba deserved better.
Falaba, when I used to go see a lot of indie shows like WrestlePro, this is before he was getting like any real recognition on Impact Wrestling, he was like always one of the guys the most over.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, wrestling isn't all about technical ability. It's about like, you need to like be charismatic. By the way, Brian Kim and me, we went to see a WrestlePro indie show.
Yeah, coming out this year.
Yeah, and we saw Falaba's best match. Like, he had a really good fucking singles match against this guy named Nikos Rikos. It was really fucking good. I told Brian Kim, I was like, this guy normally does not wrestle well. I was like, this was surprisingly a fucking good match. But yeah, Falaba's got something. Yeah, he deserves better. Why the fuck is he not doing? Well, actually, he was doing. He was doing that stupid money. That's right. Anyway, yeah, it is what it is. There's another reason why I didn't like this fucking show. There was too many stupid fucking things in the show. So I was like, are you guys trying to be a joke? Or are you guys trying to be serious? Because you guys have way too much of both. You have to pick one or the other. Like, you made a good point. You said you have to either be a complete parody or you have to like take yourself more serious. You can't be both because it's not working. And that's what this whole show is about. Because our next match is a match called Chairly Legal. It's a chair match that are calling Chairly Legal. I get it, guys. It's fucking so clever. Shira versus Hernandez. The most important thing about that I noticed from this match is that Shira is starting to develop that pectoral gap in his chest that Scott Steiner, Kofi Kingston, they all have. You see it? It's developing for him. It looks really bad. Rohit Raju interferes in the match on behalf of Shira for the win. Looks like Rohit and Shira are now back together. Anything you want to add about this match?
Sucked. Waste of time. Mm-hmm. It's nice that why did they even break up? They were only get back together. This company has no fucking direction.
Yeah, they broke them up and they just burned them back together like a week later.
Yeah, it was just like, well, then don't even break them up. Just keep them together.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a waste of time. It was garbage.
they go to Swinger's Palace. James Storm and Sabin are in there, and they're just like, dude, I can't believe we don't have a match tonight. And Triple XL are there too. And then Mike Cardona comes in. He's there too. And they're all talking. And Dreamer's like, match time. And they're like, dude, this is not Wrestle House. You can't just do that anymore. And he goes, oh, he's like, hey, we're going to have a match. And it's going to be called Great American Bash. And I was like, I want to fucking punch this guy in the face. There's seven matches on this stupid show. And then they're just adding a fucking match. And I'm like, you're just making this longer than it doesn't need to be this long. I can't believe you guys are just adding matches. This is fucking annoying. Oh, Great American Bash, bro. So fucking annoying. Anything you want to add about this stupid fucking Swinger segment?
Well, here's my problem. So Eric Young beats up Chris Harris. Tommy Dreamer gets mad at him. He's like, I challenge you to a hardcore war, right?
Yes.
Eric Young has his gang. What the fuck were James Storm and Chris Sabin on Tommy Dreamer's gang? Why are they just chilling? So I guess they don't give a shit if Chris Harris is beat up or not.
Well, you see, Violent by Design has four guys. If I put James Storm and Sabin in, that's only, like, we only have three guys. It's not enough. It doesn't
I just was like, you really can't fucking... These guys aren't like looking for vengeance on poor Chris Harris. They're just like, whatever. We're just gonna keep like,
we're just gonna keep gambling in this fake casino.
Yeah, it was like, that's my thing. I thought it was gonna be like Tommy Dreamer, James Storm, Chris Sabin, and like some old guy, like maybe like the Sandman or fucking Sabu.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it was this shit. But it gets worse. This show, it gets way.
No, it gets worse. Yes. Match number three, it is Gallows versus Black Taurus. Gallows hits a choke bomb for the win. I didn't think it was any, in my opinion, I wouldn't have been like having Black Taurus lose like this, but that's just
no, but I guess Doc Gallows and the contract don't make him look good. Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, those are two other guys that it was all bullshit. They're good workers. They're fucking garbage. They're just fucking garbage. And Black Taurus is a good worker. Doc Gallows is it. It was a fucking horrible match. And wasted my fucking time.
Yes. Wasted my time. Yeah. Almost. I think all these matches are going to be a waste of your everything about this.
Let's keep going.
All right. Match number four. It is the Great American Bash, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So what? It's like, I'm so fucking mad just that I'm wasting my time talking about this stupid fucking thing. You know what it feels like? It's like, you know, when you just like have to explain to somebody and you're just like, why am I wasting my time? I can't believe I have to explain this to this fucking idiot, right? That's what I feel like I'm doing. I'm not saying you're the idiot, but I just feel like that same feeling of like, I can't believe I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have it. There is a fake crate on each corner, and inside there's something, and whatever you grab out of it, you're allowed to use on your opponent. And this is Matt Cardona versus what's his fucking name? Johnny Swinger. That's the match. Matt Cardona versus Johnny Swinger. The first thing a Swinger pulls out in from one of the crates is a picture of Scott Hall, which I didn't get.
Okay. I'll tell you what that's a reference to. There's a match. This is why this company is the fucking worst. There was a match that booked. So when Vince Russo won the title in WCW, he gave it up. And they had a match between Jeff Jarrett and Booker T to determine the new WCW champion. It was a four corners match. And in each corner, one of the corners had the belt, but you had to get to them. One corner had a picture of Scott Hall.
I think I remember this. They had like these boxes and you have to open it on. Yeah, I remember WCW. This.
That was runs too. However, dude, that is 21 years ago and it's barely talked about at this point.
Why was there a picture of Scott Hall to begin with?
Because Kevin Nash was trying to get him back in and Jeff Jarrett and Vince Russo were like, he's not coming back. And the idea was, it was literally the last African appearance of Scott Hall in WCW. And it was like kind of like supposed to be like the three boxes were like booby traps or dummy boxes. And one box was the belt. So it was like, No, here's a picture of Scott Hall. You know what I mean?
So was this well received when this original match happened?
No, absolutely not.
So you're telling me
it was nominated for WrestlePrep.
So yeah, I think that's where I read about it. So this was not well received back then. So they decided to copy the exact same thing
21 years later with two guys who are 20 times less over than Jeff Jarrett and Booker T.
So this, do you know what this tells me? Then you're just like, we're just doing this out of as parody, right? Yeah. So this just hammers like exactly what you're saying. You're clearly just doing this as a parody because you're taking the shittiest, one of the shittiest things, and you're just recreating it. But then you can't have a match like Jazz's career on the line on the same fucking show. Do you understand? Do you understand? Because I don't fucking take that shit seriously. Now you're just making Jazz look fucking dumb that she's putting her career on the line on a show that's supposed to be a parody. You're not doing anybody any fucking service by doing this. You're not doing her a service. You're not doing anyone.
When I saw that they pulled a Scott Hall's picture out of a box, I was like, why would they reference, like they kind of like made fun of being hardcore on this show. Mm-hmm. It was like, guys, like I could get if it was on Peacock. Look, I could get like Vince sounds like I want a hardcore show, but they're on Peacock and they have to watch themselves because of all the new regulations. But they're not. They're on Fight TV. They're on Impact Plus. They can literally have all the hardcore matches they want, and no one's gonna either watch it or care. So, but instead they had a bunch of parody matches of hardcore. And it was like, who is this appealing to? Like, who are you trying to get?
Who are you trying? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So then, and then another box says Springer pulls out a rat trap. Is that in reference to anything else?
I think the same fucking match.
Okay. And then the third box, Cardona pulls out brass knuckles, punches Springer with it, and wins the match. Is that a reference to anything?
No.
Okay. And then he looks at the fourth box. He's super excited. He takes the fourth crate with him. One thing I did like was, I forgot to mention this, back in Swinger's Palace, when Matt Cardona first comes in, Johnny Swinger tries to give him that weird handshake thing. And he goes like, what the hell are you doing? He was, I don't like this handshake. You know, the finger handshake that he tries to give him. And he was like, what are you doing? That part did make me laugh, because if somebody did that to me, I would be the same. That would be my reaction. I'd be like, why are you giving me two of your fingers? You know? Swinger is still very funny. He's just like such a character.
Yeah.
We're back at Swinger's Palace, and James Storm and Chris Sabin's there with Triple X. Everyone's getting drunk. And the Swingerellas are the three girls that just look like the most tired local girls they could find. Which just adds to Swinger. By the way, Swinger's Palace is pretty funny, I think. I always think. And this is part where Chris Sabin goes, Swingerella number two, this one's for you. Because she's the best looking out of the three. The part was very funny. Oh, and then comes another stupid part. Sammy Callahan, who's not even booked on this fucking show, pulls a Teddy Hart and just shows up and he goes, I want an open challenge. And then we're going to go to match number five. They just added another fucking match. Sammy Callahan versus Sam Beal. Sam Beal is one of the students, is the most promising student at Trey Miguel's wrestling school. They did an angle a couple of months ago where Sammy Callahan went to the school, tricked Sam Beal into thinking that Trey Miguel was holding him back, brought him in to Impact to make him fight Trey Miguel. Trey Miguel had to like beat him. And as soon as Trey Miguel won, Sammy Callahan went in and beat the shit out of Sam Beal. So this is Sam Beal's like revenge match. Ultimately, Sammy Callahan hits the package pile driver for the win. This was pointless.
Garbage.
Yep.
Pure garbage.
Garbage.
Waste of time. I don't know why you put this in the pay-per-view. Nobody wants to see this. Nobody cares. You guys didn't have a good match. I don't care about this angle. Clearly, Trey Miguel doesn't care because he was later on in a different match. It didn't seem to give a shit that his friend got beat up.
Yeah.
Fucking atrocious and a waste of fucking time.
Yeah. And it's even more annoying because you're adding this match to waste more of our time when it originally wasn't even on the main card, you know? All right, we're going to go to match number 6. Jake something versus Brian Myers in a blind games match. I mean, this is basically a blind hardcore match. And you know what I was thinking? I was like, you're having a match called Charlie Legal. You're having a match called Great American Bash. But you're calling this one blind games? It doesn't even make any sense. You couldn't do like blind for glory, like bound for glory. Like you, like why? What is blind games? What is that?
Blind games. There was a WrestleMania main event called. I mean, I'm sorry, an in your house show called Mind Games.
Oh, okay,
fine. 1996 event.
All right, fine. That makes sense. Blind games, mind games. Okay, all right, fair enough. I'll admit when I'm wrong. Just like this match was fucking wrong. This match was fucking wrong. So Matt Cardona comes out. Okay, so this is why this match is fucking dumb. And this is why this match is wrong. They're acting like they can't see because they got these hoods on, right? They're all blindfolded. They can't see shit, right? That's the whole point of this blindfolding. Everyone, WWF's done it. They're doing it here. Brian Myers kind of pushes the ref. And when the ref's like distracted, he pulls up his hoodie to see where Jake is and then fucking low blows him and shit. It puts his head down. Matt Cardona comes with the crate, comes to the ring, and then he fucking slides the crate between Brian Myers' legs. And Jake something, who still has a hood on, which signifies that he cannot see, knows exactly where the crate is, catches it as it's sliding into the ring. And knows exactly where Brian Myers is. They cracks him over the head with it. And then knows exactly where Brian Myers fell. And he covers him for a win. This is so fucking stupid. How did he fucking see all this when he's fucking blindfolded? It's a fucking dumb. It's fucking dumb.
This was fucking atrocious. I'll tell you why a blind match works. A blindfold match. When Jake the Snake and Rick Martel did it 30 years ago at WrestleMania 7.
I know what you're getting at.
Jake had the crowd. The crowd was telling Jake where to go. So Jake would point to here. The crowd would go, no, 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 no. Here? No, no. Here? Yes, that's where Rick is. And then Jake would go. He could see, but the whole point is, and I remember Jake explained this in a shoot interview, because the easiest 50 grand ever made, 100 grand ever made.
Yeah.
It's literally like the crowd is helping you.
It's the ultimate our audience participation match.
Yes, because the crowd wanted to help Jake get revenge on Rick Martel. And I think there was another blindfold match with D'Lo and Triple H, and the same thing. Like the crowd wanted.
Yes, on a Raw. It was on a Raw. Like,
yeah, D'Lo kept referencing it like it was his fucking. And it was like, dude, like nobody. But like the main one, and the only one that ever worked, because Jake the Snake was so good with his mannerisms, was the Jake the Snake Rick Martel one. And you're, when you're at the building, you don't have that. You don't have that. Maybe this could have worked with the crowd, and the crowd could have been like, Jake something, he's there, go over there. But the great thing about the blindfold match with Jake and Rick is it really reinforced the connection Jake had with the audience.
Yes.
And this did not. And it was
garbage. You know what also? Jake versus Martel. There was a storyline behind the fucking match.
Yes.
Of why it wasn't just
Jake was blinded by Rick.
Yeah, it wasn't just you guys are going to have a blindfold match. There was a reason why there was going to be a blindfold match, because Jake was blinded the whole time, right? And he was like, if I want to, you got to give me a fair match with this guy, all right, but then you guys are both going to be in the blindfold. This is so fucking stupid that they're fucking doing this. They're like, we were going to parry this thing. Oh my God, I fucking hate Tommy Dreamer. This is his idea. He's a fucking idiot.
I think it's more fat.
Did you notice what he's calling himself? He was calling himself, I am the executive creator of wrestling for the show. He's the ECW. Get it?
Yeah.
This guy cannot get over it.
I don't think this was his idea. I think this is Scott DeBoerzy being played Tommy Dreamer. I think this was his idea.
Dude, he can't get over this. It's the saddest thing. He is becoming one of the saddest things I've ever seen. He can, you know what it would be like? It would be like somebody right now. You know what it would be like? It would be like if Sting kept mentioning WCW.
I know.
It would be like, WCW, Sting doesn't bring up WCW.
This is the thing about ECW Tommy Dreamer. He's been out of ECW. He has had a career longer outside of ECW at this point than in ECW. It's one thing to keep referencing ECW in like 2005, because it was only like 5 years that he was not in ECW.
Yeah.
But now it's like 2021. It's been 20 years that ECW hasn't existed, and you still fucking talk about EC fucking W. And it's like, bro.
And he wasn't even like the most popular one to come out of.
The other thing is his family got conned by Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
His family got conned.
Tommy Dreamer is a loser. Like, I'm sorry if that's mean, but I think he's a fucking loser. Whenever Tommy Dreamer
is on this show, it stinks of loserness.
Yeah.
And you can't say that because he's such a nice guy.
Those are about legend.
He's a legend. I know he's not a legend. He's not a legend.
He's not a legend.
He's not a legend. He fucking got conned by Paul Heyman, and then Vince liked him a lot, so he kept him around for 9 years. That was it.
Yeah.
And now Impact has him, and he probably does know a lot about the business side of the industry. If I was like a young kid getting in, I guarantee he'd probably give me great advice. That doesn't mean he's a fucking star. It's over. He should kill himself. It's over.
I'm not gonna go that far, but he is a fucking loser, dude.
He's a fucking loser.
He's a loser.
Dude, he smells of loserness.
Yeah, he is a loser, man. Oh my god. It's supposed to be like, you know what someone would be like, yo, what have you ever accomplished in my life? And I'll be like, you know what I've accomplished in my life? Not spending 20 years of it.
Hanging on something I did in 1999.
Yeah, I was like, my biggest accomplishment is not spending 20 years of my life reminiscing about some fucking company that I worked for, you know?
Yeah, when I was in my 20s.
ECW was a movement. That was all hard. Like, dude,
a bowel movement at this point.
It's a fucking wrestling company that doesn't exist anymore. Like,
dude, his family paid for the trucks. You were fucking conned because you're a mark, and you're still a mark. Paul Heyman, you know what Paul Heyman talks about? Roman Reigns.
Yes.
You know what Paul Heyman talked about for 15 years before Roman Reigns? Brock Lesnar. He didn't talk about ECW. He only talked about ECW when WWE makes him.
He doesn't give a fuck about ECW.
He moved on. Within a year, he was with Brock Lesnar. He moved the fuck on. None of you can.
He is like, Paul Heyman was the guy who lost the most.
And he doesn't give a shit.
Going down. And he's invested the most, and he doesn't give a shit. He's moved on. There's this thing I'm a big fan of. It's called the Rockafire Explosion, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really popular. It was a really popular pizza chain with the fucking animatronics before Chuck E. Cheese in the 80s and 90s. The guy who created it, Aaron Fetcher, he can't let it go. It's done. It's over. But he keeps dwelling on it. He just keeps bringing it up, and it's all he focuses on. Even though this guy was a genius and created animatronics, so he's a fucking loser now. Like, he's never accomplished anything else in his life. He's in his 60s. People think he's a fucking weirdo because that's all he talks about. And he goes like, when people make videos with it with rap songs in it and there's cursing, and he goes, you're putting like dirty words in my animatronics and you're killing the integrity of it. He sounds like a crazy person. And that's basically what Tommy Dreamer sounds like. It's like, dude, I can't believe you can't let this go. You're a fucking loser, bro. Like, you're a fucking loser. Get over it. What a loser.
Yes, that's Tommy
Dreamer. I am taking out all my frustrations on this show on Tommy Dreamer. What a fucking loser.
Let's keep moving.
Yeah, let's keep moving. I get this over with. Tommy Dreamer decides to pick Rich Swann, Willie Mack, and Eddie Edwards. They cut a promo. It's fucking terrible. Rich Swann's terrible at promos.
Yes.
Fucking stupid. He tries to do this thing like, I'm mad. I'm super mad. And it just comes off super phony. We're going to go to match number 7. It's the knockout weapons match. We got Jordan Grace in there, Susan, Tennille Dashwood, Havoc, Alicia Edwards, and Rosemary. But before Suyung could come in, before Susan could come in, Suyung attacks her and Suyung takes her place. So I'm assuming Suyung is back. I have no idea. Basically, there is a this action match was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. There is a point where they put Alicia Edwards keeps bringing in weapons in this match, and then she takes tacks and she puts them on the ground, not the ring, on the floor. You take a bump on the floor and attacks. Su Yung then takes Alicia Edwards and kidnaps her, and they go to the back and they're gone. Havoc has the upper hand in the match, but then Nevaeh comes out of nowhere and blows powder into Havoc's face, which allows Jordan Grace, I believe, to hit like a Vader bomb on her. Caleb grabs Jordan Grace, pulls her out, and he super kicks her in the face. And then Tennille steals the victory by covering Havoc while Jordan Grace is out. I thought the finish of this match was done very well. That was a very good finish, the way they did the powder.
I am glad that Emma or Tennille.
Tennille Dashwood.
Has the title shot. I think she should be the champ. Other than that, the match did nothing for me. Did nothing. I'm glad Tennille won.
The finish. I expect that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, all right. We're just going to move on. They're back at the palace, Ringer's Palace, and everyone's acting fake drunk. They're really fucking bad at it. They're doing this whole thing where, is he going to puke? Is he going to puke? Just like Hot Tub Time Machine or whatever. Or no, they're just like when
Beyond the Ring
did it with draws. They play Pong, and then they start fighting. And then, yeah, that's all it is. We're going to go to match number 8. It is Deonna Purrazzo versus Jazz. Jazz's career is on the line. Deonna Purrazzo hits the Queen's Gambit for the win. After the match is over, Jordan Grace runs out and she says, I'm so sorry. Jazz is now officially retired on this parody show. Her last match is on this fucking parody show.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to add about this retirement
match? This is the best match of the show. Deonna looked great.
This was the best match of the show. Yes. This was
the best match of the show. Deonna's new gear. She looks fucking fantastic.
Deonna's new gear looks good, yes.
Deonna really kind of lost me after the summer, and I got right back in with this. Other than that, though, this was a waste of time. And Jazz should be ashamed of herself that she's retiring in this. It was a waste of time. And she already had a nice retirement ceremony. There is no need to come back and retire in an empty building like this. It was what it was. Hopefully, we don't see Jazz ever again, and we can forget that she ever existed. So,
what?
When
did she have a retirement ceremony?
I don't know, like a year ago. I will tell you this. A year ago, if you told me, oh, Jazz is going to come back to WWE, she's going to wrestle in a Royal Rumble, she's going to manage Sasha Banks, all this shit, I would have been like, oh my God, it's so cool. Jazz was so under, you know, people forgot about Jazz. She's so good. But now if you said to me like, hey, the plan is for Sasha Banks to turn heel and Jazz is going to manage her and Jazz is going to wrestle now in WWE, I'd be like, no, I don't want to see that. Like,
yeah, I would be like, no.
You should probably do something else. Like, she had this mystique about her that like she was underutilized and all her shit in TNA has been like, no, she was probably utilized. I think it was fine what they did with her back in the day. It was fine. Yeah. There was no need to do more. And I think, like, you know, once you lose your mystique, it's hard to get when you're old like this, it's hard to get it back. And I think she did. But this match was good. But do you know what the match was good? It was because of Deonna Purrazzo. It wasn't because of Jazz. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Match number 9 is our final match. There was fucking 9 matches on this stupid fucking thing. So this is the order of entry. So you can't actually win until everybody's in the ring.
It's a war game without a cage.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. That's a good way to put it. It's war games without the cage. Eddie Edwards is in there with Cody Deaner. And then Rhino comes in. And then Willie Mack comes in. And then Joe Doran comes in. And then Swan comes in. And then Eric Young comes in. And then, before this match happened, Tommy Dreamer attacked Tommy Dreamer. They were like, we don't know who the last person is going to be who's going to take Tommy Dreamer's place. It ends up being Trey Miguel. And, goddamn, I can't even read my own handwriting. I can't remember. This is like when I was like about to fall asleep. I can't remember. Something with Willie Mack. Willie Mack. Oh yeah,
Willie Mack loses. He gets the
Willie Mack gets hit with the pack with the pile driver. Yeah, he gets hit with a pile driver for the bad guys to win. This was a waste of time.
This was garbage. They just had Willie Mack, Eddie Edwards, Rich Swann beat Kenny Omega, and then 2 days later they lose to Eric Young and his fucking gang of losers. A fucking waste of time.
I didn't even think about that.
It was a fucking waste of time. Impact. I think Impact is literally in a place in overturn. They constantly make the wrong moves. Dude, I posted, I was watching an Impact show, and someone was like, they have balls. That company has fucking, and not in a good way, has balls to put a show on WrestleMania Saturday. And they do. Because you know what? I watched it because whatever. I'm just sitting at home. I watch it. I'm doing this podcast. We cover this fucking show. But when I'm finished with WrestleMania, I'm like, you guys have lost so much ground. Even from 5 years ago. It's fucking insane. It's embarrassing. This company, this show, everything about them, and we say this every week, and I want to reiterate it. It's an embarrassment, and it shouldn't be on the air anymore. It's a fucking embarrassment.
I don't know how these... I don't know how they fuck up so bad. I don't know. Like, they will always.
I think they think it's cute. I think they think it's cute that they fucking half-ass it. They go, oh, look how funny. No, it's fucking horrible.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. Yeah. It's a fucking embarrassment. Oh my God. This company is so funny.
All right. So that's it. WrestleMania night 6 is in the books. Tomorrow night, though, night 7, much faster night, we're going to be just covering WrestleMania.
Thank God. All right. Mm-hmm.
We're almost there. We got 3 nights left. Do you
think there's going to be a pre-show match then?
No, I think, there might not be any matches. According to your thing, it's not going to stop raining until 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be raining in Tampa, like, until, like, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock tomorrow.
There might not be any matches, so. But it'll be fun to find out, so.
Yeah. All right.
See you tomorrow. Night.